This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island. He's standing 6'2", 301 pounds. Let's watch that number decline as the year goes on, ideally, but also he's batch recording, so it should be in big numbers in the chunks. You get what I'm talking about. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine from A Star Is Born. That's right, I'm no longer Leonard Bernstein. I'm still Jackson Maine. Yes, finally, don't kill yourself. Make sure you get your dog a steak. Speaking of dogs, also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my newly signed co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur is a senior dog asleep in the other room. There is no way he has a clue what's happening here. Speaking of old dogs, I got one of my oldest dogs. This guy literally, I think at this point, over 20 years ago doing improv comedy. We're still doing it. From this third time or maybe fourth time on the podcast, from the new fucking Peacock Show, Mike Judge and Zach Woods, it's Brendan Gardner.
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody.
Welcome, sir.
That reminds me, something I've been trying with, I have a daughter who's about to turn 5, and a lot of my parenting is based on Instagram videos, I see. And one was suggesting to like help them go to bed better is to do some sort of physical play with them before bed.
Heck yeah.
And so we do wrestling every night that she has to win or she gets very upset. But I do like intros for us where I'm like 38 pounds standing 40 inches tall from Los Angeles. And she loves it. She won't wrestle now unless we do that part.
Oh, that's so fucking cute. Oh, I love that.
It's very fun.
Mutual friend of ours, Justin Tyler. I was visiting him when I was back east and I was having dinner with his family. And his daughters know me really well via Zoom, right? Because Justin and I are working on Zoom like a couple times a week. And his daughter goes, when Gabrus gets here, I'm going to wrestle him. And Justin comes to me. He's like, yo, my daughter said she wanted to wrestle you. Have you guys talked about that? And I'm like, no. And he's like, where would she have gotten that from? We don't wrestle here. And I'm like, is it like, do I put out that vibe that it's like, if this guy comes here, I'm going to fucking whoop his ass.
Feels like it. But was she prepared for real life Gabrus?
Yeah, well, it was funny. They got like instantly shy when I showed up. Like, of course. But I won them over by doing their little bullshit Legos. Nice. But it was really funny. They were like so hyped, so gassed. The second I'm there, they're like, I mean, my own nephews do that. They're always like on the phone. Yeah. They're like, Uncle Daddy, this Uncle Daddy, this. And they're like, guess who's here? And they're like, hi. Mm-hmm. You know, like holding his Nintendo Switch. Hi. Yeah. I'm like, thanks, asshole. I'm your fucking godfather. Get on. Well, you have a daughter who's about to turn 5, and you have a daughter who's 0.
About to be 7 months.
Yeah, well, how's that going?
It's a lot of not sleeping. Or I should say, like, the thing that's most traumatic for me is it's a lot of, like, being pulled out of deep sleeps every night.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the amount of total sleep I get is okay.
Yeah, you're not staying up super late and getting up super early. It's more like, oh, I'm waking up in the middle of my sleep twice.
It's like my wife nudging me to be like, it's your turn. And having just come out of a weird dream. I'm like, what? What do you need me to do?
Oh, shit. You just triggered something. Speaking of weird dream, I was so obsessed with the way Florence Pugh looked at the Golden Globes with like that like sexy, mm-hmm, short, futuristic hair.
Yeah, I can see that being on brand for you.
Yeah. It's an old Uncle Gabrus's wheelhouse. I had a dream. We were riding a train together. And we had been flirting and talking, and I just like leaned in. I was like, "Hey, I'm just gonna go for a kiss," and she didn't. And I leaned in and made out with her. And when I pulled back, she's like, "I enjoyed that, but I'm just definitely not bi." And I was like, "Oh," and I firmed that up. She was like, and then I like woke up, but I was like, shame I felt for like, "Oh, I'm gonna just go for this." I think I had a little bit of an inkling that it was a dream. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I'm always in dreams, like even sex dreams. I'm always like, I'm married. I can't. And I'm like, wait, why won't I just fuck Katy Perry? It's a dream. I know.
Have you ever had, I feel like multiple times I've had sex dreams with people I didn't think I was attracted to. And then afterwards had to be, is like, is there something there I'm not noticing when I'm awake? Why did I?
Changes the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah, changes the whole game. You're like, yeah, I guess I do see it.
Guess so. Yeah. I'm like working hard to be like, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let me look up Megan Mullally bathing suit or whatever.
We had sex on a couch in a crowded room in this dream. Sure.
And crouch. We had sex in the couch in the green room at the Hot Chicks room in UCB, New York. Brandon, I'm so stoked you're here. We've trying to determine before we got on if we have done one Torco episode and two fitness episodes or one. I feel like we've done two fitness episodes.
I think we Torco had one. Was, yeah.
Torco was in the OG days at Jake and Amir's house.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're very nice house.
Yeah. They briefly rented a huge mansion that they also ran HeadGum out of.
And it was nice.
It was awesome. They got like some insane deal. And I remember just kind of like milling around there before and after every record for way longer.
I remember they had like hundreds of bottles of Bullet bourbon like lining the walls.
Yes. It's quite possible. Those freaks. Now they have bi-coastal studios. Good for them. And now they each have their own homes. Oh, great. Everyone's doing better than me.
I don't need that. My almost five-year-old is always like, when will I have a backyard? And it's just like,
oh, God.
I don't know. Working on it. But
that's so funny.
Not soon.
Yeah. That we're going to need a few more seasons of Peacock before we're talking houses and yards and shit.
And it's got to do well.
Yeah. And not great shows aren't getting four seasons these days. We always end up talking fitness shit because you and I are sort of, we're old school meatheads, but also sort of like very much into the sort of whatever the cutting edge of fitness is. I'm not buying gimmicks or really taking a bunch of gimmick classes or anything, but if I'll roll ATG, you know, into my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Like I just get it. And I like to have this other info coming in. So we've always opened each other's eyes to like random fitness fads I think that was maybe the name of one of our episodes was like fitness fads.
Yeah. I think we've done one that was like pandemic fitness, maybe, and one that was like maybe like fitness over 40 or something like that. It may have also been fad fitness, because the same thing for me.
It's all that, and I've always like my brothers are both meatheads too, and they're both, and we always say like whatever it takes to get you inspired. Like my youngest brother swears by like when he's feeling like I can't get my ass to the gym, he like makes a playlist. Buys new sneakers and like buys like two new shirts or something like that. And that gets him like hyped enough to like want to go to the gym or try a new creatine supplement or like get new post workout and be like, all right. So I'm always game to find those things that keep you motivated. And whatever it might be, for some people, it's like a bougie expensive gym. For some people, it's like, you know, rusty dumbbells next to their desk or whatever. So I'm always down to hear about new fads and shit. But we were talking about this time, talking about another. Also, it's funny, like we were meatheads when we met in like 2002
it's
or
sort
whatever.
Of part of why we met.
Yeah.
Or at least why we connected, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't have. I truly our size introduced us to each other because we were at an improv party in
college improv party,
a college improv party. And you and I were like a head taller than everybody. So like we were able to see each other at a large
and
party.
Like, 100 pounds heavier than anyone.
Yeah. The only guys with traps doing sketch comedy. So we were like, hey, we should talk. And then you ended up like we ended up obviously living in New York at the same time. And even for a brief period of time, lived off the same subway stop and would walked. But that all started with us being a meathead in an artist space. And something I thought about after we connected about this premise was another thing that I've kind of had in these recent years that I'm not sure if you have, is that I've been an artist in meathead spaces.
Oh, yeah. Like your rugby team.
Playing club rugby, doing martial arts, competing in like these, you know, I did that Hood to Coast Oregon relay this year. I mean, that's not true meathead, but running is weirdly somehow not meathead behavior. That's still dorky for some reason.
Right. Yeah. I don't think I've had that experience since high school. Yeah. Other than the last time I felt like an artist in a meathead.
Right. Well, yeah, or maybe college when you're a bouncer and you are also.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You're
I was
also
a
in
bouncer,
the Pappy Parker place.
Not super artistic community.
Right. But, like, way back in the day, I said to someone on Mailer Demon, or maybe it was Fwand, it might have even been Chelsea Clark. I'm like, I like that I'm the strongest guy on my improv team and the funniest guy on my rugby team. Right. And she's like, oh, God, you must be so funny. You must be so much funnier than everyone on the rugby team. And then Chelsea, I'm going to quote someone else complimenting me, so it's kind of a whack move. But she was like, she's like, well, I mean, you are one of the funniest people on this improv team, on a team made of comedy people.
Right.
So I'm sure you're killing it in the rugby. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty much the funniest guy over there. And that's always given me like an undue confidence. And maybe it helped like being the guy, the strongest guy on my Harold team, and being the funniest or quote unquote most famous person on my rugby team, or just by hosting an MTV game show or whatever. But like those two dynamics has always let me feel, you know, it's like forcing myself into a small pond. It's like, you know, getting out of the gym and diving into a small pond made up of poets or whatever. And you're like, hell yeah.
Well, it's funny. Like for me, that's like the positive way to think of it. I think for me, it's often it's like how people in that group refer to you. So like in an improv thing, it's like they're constantly talking about me lifting and being like, I don't think that's a big part of my identity. But to you, it's so unusual.
Well, we come from a place and friend groups where everyone lifted weights.
Right.
Like it wasn't, I would say now, even in 2024, times are different. Like weights is not
totally
really a
different
meathead thing anymore. Yeah.
Especially at UCB.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like people, like, it's such a more common thing is to be into fitness, into specifically lifting weights and getting stronger. That was like a weirdo thing in 2005 at UCB.
For sure. And I wonder, because I tried to figure out what that was, and I don't know if it's the LA of it all versus New York, where we're kind of more fitness focused out here in general. And, but I feel like based on New York, it has changed too. Is it being in our 30s and 40s, like where it's like fitness is a little more paramount because you're noticing that you need to be doing shit? Or I know overall resistance training, if you will, the umbrella term, has definitely gained popularity.
That's what I think. It's like a little less bro-y now than it was 15 years ago.
For sure. Because the bros were right. Like that, it is
about
like,
a lot of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And that's what like I always want, like, you know, the dumbbells use the phrase bro science. And it is like the bros had some shit. The resistance training, all you hear from, like, you know, longevity. Now I'm all in like the longevity space. I'm like, I read Dr. Peter Attia's book and all this shit. And it's like this, the resistance training is what, you know, bulletproofs your body for when you get older too.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing that even now in my early 40s. And I'm not even like, I haven't been like on a steady program for a long time, but like things that bother other people of my age and size or whatever don't bother me as much. And I'm like, I guarantee it's because I'm still deadlifting, squatting, and getting, you know, moving around a bunch and under load and shit like that.
For sure. And that is similarly, like, that's my big goal, like seeing older people and being like, I never want to walk like that, or I never want
to
have that struggle lifting my suitcase or whatever it might be. Yeah.
I never, like, I haven't done, like, I want to do so much in life, and I haven't done that much yet. Mm-hmm. Now, like, you're a dad, so that kind of, you have, like, a visual reminder of, like, well, in 14 years, I'd like to still shoot around if my daughter wants to play basketball, right?
The dream is that she's, like, high school age and wants to competitively play one-on-one would be like, oh, yes. I try not to seem too excited about it because I don't want to push her away, but God, that would be great.
But like, I don't have kids, but my life goal and the way I live my life is I love to check boxes and do things. And there's so much stuff I want to do, and I don't want it to have to happen in the next 14 years, because by the time I turn 55, I'm fucking too overweight, too many knee surgeries or whatever to hike Machu Picchu. I don't want to jam every. I'd like to, like, my Tiff's stepdad He's kind of like the oldest family member I have now.
Right.
He's in his mid-70s, and he's slowed down a little bit, but he can still go on like a 10-day European vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, still manage that. Yes, he needs to, like, take naps, and he can't just walk around Lisbon for 5 hours every day.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still able to do so much. No one in my family even lived to their
60s. Yeah.
Like, and, like, no less, you know, my mom's in her 60s, and she couldn't do all that because she's mm-hmm. so out of shape. And so that's just been kind of inspiring, translating my goals for what I want out of my life. And I'm like, when I have more free time, which hopefully will happen when I get older, I want to be able to finally get more surfing in and more hiking and more camping. And I'm like, that shit's only going to get harder when I'm 58 versus 41.
Yeah.
So you got to do everything you can now to like fucking set the right habits and get yourself in that. And it's no longer meatheady, but like this year I'm like, I'm trying to like care less about my career and care more about my body and my brain mm-hmm. for like the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 9 days in or 7 days in and it feels good. I'm going to eventually like look at my checking account and be like, all right, well, we got to focus a little on the career here. But for now, it feels really good to just, I'm like treating myself like an athlete. I'm doing a two a day today. I did swimming. I swam laps this morning and hit the sauna and the cold plunge. And then mm-hmm. I intend to go to martial arts after this
That's
record.
Awesome. For me, like there's been big periods in my life where I think because I played sports growing up. And so that's how I got into weightlifting, was like coaches being sort of being the introduction to weightlifting. And then when I went to college and wasn't playing like on a team sport, weightlifting like took up that time that
right.
I was sort of used to being physical. And then it became such a habit that like when I was in my 20s living in New York, it was not hard to like go to the gym 4 or 5 days a week. But I'd be like, why
right in between
I
like
anything?
Teaching improv. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
because there's something about like lifting weights where it's like you can't, I mean, you can technically fail at it, but you can't fail at it. It's not like writing a script where like this might suck. You're just like going
right.
to like, I'm gonna do chest and tries today, it's gonna be great.
Well, yeah, I mean, like no matter what you do, it is something, I guess. Like if you get 3 words down on a final draft page, like that counts.
That would be
like
a healthy perspective for sure,
right? But like with fitness, it is like getting a, you know, it's more cumulative than anything else. Like if you're like, man, I hit 90 minutes of iron 5 days this week, you know what I mean? That's like, shit, dude, not bad. That's
yeah.
3 hours of fucking training or whatever. Yeah. And that's like stringing those together is that you build that pattern. But but you were saying like, did you find that it was taking up too much time for you?
I think
at some point? It
was just in the same way that people are like, my apartment is always cleanest when I have a deadline. It's like that thing of like, well, I'll just clean because
yeah.
it's something I can do that is avoiding.
Makes
this thing.
You
I think,
scratches the productivity itch a little.
Yeah, I think it's like, it was realizing that non-productivity, I think a lot of times for me, and I won't speak for other people, is rooted in some sort of fear of like, what if I do this and it doesn't work?
Yeah. Or what if at minimum for me, I can relate to that. Not only that, even a smaller step before that, what if I put 10 hours a week for the next 8 weeks into this and it doesn't come out into anything I want it, like remotely,
yeah.
like before I even get a no from someone else, I'm just like, and like, oh, it's just easier to have it be an idea in my head. Like it's just more successful already as an idea in my head than like putting the time in. I have such, dude, when I tell you like my productivity or ADHD is like in this, like in this size, it's like, this is what I'm obsessed with. I'm going to work on this project. I'll do mm-hmm. it for like 3 weeks. I'm like, this is really coming together. Or is it? Is there something that would
yeah.
be a better use of my time? I feel like, Jesus, why would I write about zombies? I should have done something like beach-based. Okay. Well, I'll just figure out something beach-based. And then it's like, now I'm like off the hook of
right.
like having to because I know it's because I'm a stronger idea person than I am a follow-through person.
Mm-hmm.
Like anyone who like performs or collaborates with me can like guess that, you know, like I don't want to do the work, but I
right.
want to just sit there and spitball.
Right.
And I see myself just, I shoot myself in the foot constantly, like with that. And that's another sub goal of 2024. I mean, I have my notes app. What did I call this? Habituation protocol. 2024 habituation protocol.
This is I'm not sure if this is going off of our topic, but there's, I guess in the sense that it's, there's an artist side of it. There's this Celine Sciamma, who's the director of Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Have you seen that? I love that movie.
Fucking movie, yeah.
So she has this BAFTA talk.
The movie that taught me I might like armpit hair on girls.
She has this BAFTA talk where she talks about her creative process. And she breaks it down when she's writing into, it's very French, where she's like her desires, where like when she's just like thinking about a story, what are things she wants to be in that movie? And she doesn't worry about it fitting into a plot or anything. And she's just like writing down images or dialogue, or maybe it's an idea for a scene. And then eventually she'll get to a thing where she's just sort of plotting it out, but only when she's done the desires part first to sort of keep the like excitement alive longer. And then if it's like a plot thing that she can't figure out a way to have it to feel the same way she feels about her desires thing, she will try to just not have it in the movie. She's like, maybe it doesn't need that.
Oh, cool.
And that's been helpful, because I used to try to do like the screenplay, like all the book things of like index cards and cork boards and whatever, and I would always start to hate the idea.
Yes, dude, that's I use this analogy too much. I'll get right back to what you're saying, but I'm a big role-playing game guy too for video games, and I have dozens of level 8 characters. Few level 20 characters.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm like always like I start to like second guess my own effort. I'm like, is this even worth my time? Like, should I even be getting good at this? Like, is this going to work for? And then that's clearly some lack of confidence, right? Like, that's like, because if I believed in it, and then I go, well, if you fully believed in it, you'd finish it. And I'm like, and if you fully believed in it, you'd push it. Like, yeah. I get envious of those people who are like, I've been trying to get this singular movie made for like 10 years. And it's like, oh, yeah, I wonder if I put in that much effort, would it happen for me?
Although I feel on the other side, there's also those people who are like, well, I worked on this movie 10 years ago and put it away in a drawer and then made this. And then I came back to it because I was thinking about it. Like, I feel like the Coen brothers do that.
Yeah, I guess it's all time well spent if you can, that's a real fucking glass half full kind of situation for sure.
Yeah.
But you were saying like you get bored of your own ideas looking at like your...
I think it becomes like sort of dead to me. Like, I think if I'm thinking about the idea from the outside in terms of structure, it becomes like a math problem and it becomes like not exciting to me. The more I can do things so that like the story starts to feel like a real world that you can sort of go into while you're being creative, the more like the characters are like start to be fleshed out and like the more you can do the parts that you're like, I'm a big like fan of just like, if there's a scene you're excited about writing, just write it.
Right. And then figure out where it goes later.
Figure out where it goes.
Change
later.
The character's
Maybe
name.
You lose Maybe, it, yeah, but like yeah. that, like don't, when you have that opportunity to write and be inspired, you should take it.
Do you want to keep your information private? Try NordVPN. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and privacy online. VPNs create an encrypted tunnel for your data, protecting your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. NordVPN is easy to use. You connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. Easily switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. They have 6,000 plus servers in 61 countries. Change your virtual location easily. This allows you to safely access your favorite streams and other content from home, no matter where you go. Nord also has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. Plus, one NordVPN account can be used on 6 devices, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, and even Android TV. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal at nordvpn.com/mighty. That's nordvpn.com/mighty. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's nordvpn.com/mighty for an exclusive deal on NordVPN. Factor, baby. Their delicious, ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. 35 different options a week to choose from. Keto, calorie smart, vegan, and veggie, and more. I dig the keto meals. It makes it really easy for me to just quickly heat up something if I totally forgot on one thing, or like, oh, wait, Tiff's not eating dinner tonight. I can whip up, she's going out, or, oh, you know what? Instead of making a salad for lunch, I'll take down a little keto meal, you know, heat up a Facta, if you will. Factor it, baby. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. What are you waiting for? Get started today and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go. Two-minute meals, fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals, snacks, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day. Breakfast, midday bites, and more. Sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian-approved to be nutritious and delicious. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, upscale options done easy. Flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing 6 to 18 meals per week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. Do yourselves a favor and get a Facta. So head to factormeals.com/mighty50 and use code mighty50 to get 50% off. That's code MIGHTY50 at factormeals.com/mighty50 factormeals.com/MIGHTY50 and get that 50% off. Facta, baby. Now you're making me, my brain is going 100 miles an hour right now talking about meat. I should bring, for my own sake, I don't know if this works for everyone, I should bring my meathead mentality to my artistry, right? Now, here's one thing. Both my meatheadness and my artistry are multidisciplinary. And I think that's part of what makes me stick with stuff is like that I'm doing improv and trying to write and doing stand-up and, you know, working on a screenplay and hosting a travel show and talking to friends about meathead artistry on a podcast. And then like my fitness right now and like kind of on and off is always like some running, some hiking, some swimming, a lot of sauna, some weights and some martial arts. And I'm like, oh, this is currently working for me. And maybe that's what I need. That's how I need to look at my creativity as well.
Yeah.
And the reason it all triggered is because I'm the biggest proponent of telling people and you saying just write the scene. I'm the biggest proponent of telling fitness people, I'm like, if you're going to do nothing, a 10-minute walk is 10 more minutes than nothing. And it's so funny how I'll be like, man, I don't have enough time to write 100 pages or whatever. And like, I will just shit on art stuff the same way other people shit. But I can like self-talk myself positively into fitness, but I can't do it into artistry. I think it's because there's like a sort of binary of like, if you press the, if you take 225 out of the rack, touch your chest and put it back up, you have succeeded. You don't have to go like, what do you think, David Zaslav?
Right,
like,
right.
We already have a guy who benched 225.
Because you always pitch directly to David Zaslav.
That's me. I insist. I'm always in Aspen on the ski lift trying to fucking get him to buy.
He's like, I thought you worked here.
I'm like, I might actually. I probably be more lucrative.
Are they hiring? Fucking pitch. There's, I listened to Arnold Schwarzenegger on Conan's podcast. Did you listen to that?
No, I haven't, but I did listen to his entire audiobook.
Well, he said something in on Conan's podcast that I'd never thought about, and as like a weightlifter, sounded very profound to me, which is like if you're, I think he was talking about it in terms of bodybuilding, but weightlifting in general, like part of what you get used to is going to failure, right? So you're doing some sets to failure, and if you're not, you're not getting the full aspect of your body's training, like
right, you don't know what your limits are.
And he was sort of like, you need to live in that sort of way of, where you're not afraid of failure. That failure shows you like how far you got. That you went to you put in everything and then failed. It's just information,
right?
In the same way
it's
that, I did 6 reps.
Right, you didn't fail at 7 reps. You got 6 reps.
And say, so, oh, interesting. I could only do this. Okay, great. So next time I'll try to do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's great.
That's really, now I'm thinking like I need to program my creativity and be like the chest and tries on Monday, you know, like, all right, well, this 3-hour block I should focus on blank. Mm-hmm. This 3-hour block I should focus on, or let's be honest, 90-minute, 80-minute, 45-minute. That's what I need. That's talking pure creativity. That's what I need to do is be like, when do I have 3-hour blocks? I rarely do. Like, yeah. I have to like, and the best way to get a 3-hour block of creativity is to have like 7 40-minute blocks over the course of like a couple of weeks that get some momentum going. And the expression I heard that I really like is parking downhill.
Oh, interesting.
So like if you're like flying on a script or what, you know, like if you know what the next couple of pages are going to be, stopping there.
Oh, interesting.
And then like that way, you know, when you sit down, you can fucking, you're parked downhill. You're ready to fucking rip like the second you sit. And I'm like, ooh, I kind of like that. I kind of like that idea. But I need to just be, at minimum, I need to have like, I barely have the fitness discipline, but that's easier for me to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a given that I'm going to try to squeeze in a workout every day. But it's not a given that I'm going to try to squeeze in like my profession every day, mm-hmm. which is kind of like
another big thing that I hadn't made the connection to exercise, but in that book, do you ever read The Artist's Way? Like,
yes.
So there's morning pages.
We got to rewrite that and do the Meathead Artist's Way. And it's like morning pages is
I've stuck with. So like morning pages I've done, I would say on average, I do it probably now 5 out of 7 days a week. But I've done it for probably 12 years.
Jesus.
And that's been the best. That's like, and that's one where.
Well, like let's assume we have some meathead listeners. Let's talk a little bit about. So the Artist's Way is sort of like this woman's, this person's theory on like developing your artistic side.
Yeah.
Or your artistic
unlocking
soul.
Creativity. Right.
Yeah. And one of the things she touts is this morning pages.
And the way she touts it is you should do 3 pages of free writing right when you wake up, which usually for me takes about 25 or 30 minutes. But I don't. So the big thing for me, it's like, especially since having kids, I never do it in the morning. Because I'm waking up to kids getting them to school.
You have to do their stuff.
So it's like I just find a time that day. And I also am okay with I can only do a page. But I'll do it. Most of the time I'll do all 3 pages. But that way, even if I'm not working on a script, almost every day I did write for 30 minutes. And it's an interesting combination for me of like, one, it's sort of right now like a replacement for therapy where I can't afford / find a therapist I like. So it allows you to sort of write out thoughts and sometimes get a little bit of perspective on stuff in your life. But then also like, creative things you're working on will just, for me, just find their way in there. And so it might even be something that's like, I had this argument with my wife last night, I'm writing about that. And then it's like, oh, but also there's like this scene I've been working on, and they might not even feel consciously connected, but I've had a lot of breakthroughs and morning pages, like creative
now,
breakthroughs.
So when you say free writing, are you handwriting?
Yeah,
and you're just
trying
writing.
To write as fast as possible without editing myself. And how I do it, which a lot of people, it's like I write like partly because I'm writing so fast, but the handwriting is really bad. So that partly I think it's psychological for me. Other people wouldn't be able to read it.
Right. So if like you're, what do you mean we got in a fight last night? You're like, oh, give me that.
You can't read that. And then the other thing I do is I throw them away when I'm done. So I'll fill up a notebook and just throw it away. I don't keep it and look back at it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you find it's still worth the time, obviously.
I think it's the one thing from that whole book that I've stuck with because it's helped so much.
And what do you and like hip fire some theories as to why this works for you?
I think sometimes, well, going back to fitness and maybe how my brain's been trained, I will do it as like a writing warm up. So in the same way you'd warm up before like doing your compound lifts, it's like I want to get my like brain just moving. And there's something to I think. Writing for 30 minutes where you're not judging it as you're writing it, that then when you go to work on the script or whatever, your mind is already more in a mode of being positive and not judging it and editing yourself. So I think that's a big part of it.
Interesting.
And I think there's something to having it naturally in your morning pages, for me, being a blend of like personal stuff and creative stuff. I think creative stuff is often better when your personal stuff is bleeding into it.
Right.
And so I think that that helps too.
Oh, that's so fucking cool. Because it lets you into my world a little. Part of my, and I did this for like the last quarter of 2023. And I'm trying to do it in 2024. I learned that I don't hate getting up early.
Mm.
I hate rushing to have to be somewhere.
So
what
way.
I've learned, I hate the squeeze.
Yeah.
So I've learned, I've been getting up, childless 41-year-old stoner, I've been getting up at 7 a.m. every morning. And I have like, I'm not getting to the gym till like 9:15, 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm doing is, doing all my morning beverages, all my morning, like my celery juice, my athletic greens, promo code mm-hmm. Mighty, my make myself a coffee, take that into the office, try to read, because that's like something I mm-hmm. that has gone from my body in the last 10 years, and I'm embarrassed about mm-hmm. that. And in addition to all this longevity fitness stuff is a lot of like, I got to keep the fucking neurons mm-hmm. firing up here. Same thing. Like I want to be able to hike Machu Picchu at 65, but I also want to be able to like, maybe be in a sitcom when I'm 65.
Yeah, sharpen a conversation.
Still,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Still be fun to be around. Mm-hmm. Well, or as fun as I am.
This brand of fun.
Yeah. Well, if you think this is fun, I want to still be like this when I'm 65. So I've been like reading in the morning or doing the New York Times games, like mm-hmm. crosswords and connections and stuff. And then eventually popping over to do some emails and to-do list stuff on the computer. And then going to the gym with like a few things taken care of and not like, and it feels really good. Like, and it helps with my GI tract to be like, mm-hmm. now I'm not going to shit at the gym or the sauna yeah. place or whatever. And I've been thinking like, this might be the thing I need to add. Like, I want to just add 30 minutes of sitting down on a project,
mm-hmm.
but that might not be what I'm really capable of at that time of day. But yeah. this is giving me like this could be not difficult for me to roll into my current 2024 habituation protocol.
And I think like you said, like when you give advice to people about exercise and you're like, if you can walk for 5 minutes, like
right.
do it. It's the same thing. It's like, if you can do a page, it's better than nothing.
Right. And I feel the same way about in the morning, too. Like, if you do it earlier, it's done. Maybe you do more later, but at least you did the thing. Yeah.
And I think that, like, when you can have, like, an open schedule like that, to be able to, for me, too, to do, like, your sort of mental work, then the gym is like, your break. You're like, oh, great. Right. Now I can just, like, lift weights and
right.
my brain can rest, and then I'll come back and I'll be ready to do something mental.
Do whatever else. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, I like that. Yeah. Oh, that's fucking rad. I guess I know a couple of people who do the artist pages in the morning, but not anyone as close as you. That was, 'cause that's so fucking, that's intriguing. And to throw them all out, like not give them a reread and be like, oh yeah, the stencil idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're supposed to do that. And a couple times I will say, like, I have been working at something and I'm frantically like flipping through pages to try to find something I wrote down a month ago and it's like illegible. But most of the time, it, in the same way, like you've said, like, if you like doing bicep curls, just go to the gym to do bicep curls. And then after, you'll probably feel like doing some pull downs or you'll,
right.
you'll be in the mood.
Or you're at least already be there.
You're there.
And if you walk out having done just bicep curls, that's more than you were going to do.
And same thing with pages where it's like, if you do that and that's all you do, cool, no problem. But oftentimes you'll get excited and you'll want to keep writing.
The sauna is that for me. Like mm-hmm. the sauna is my carrot. Like it is good for you, but I also love doing it. And I'm like, you can't just be the guy that goes to the sauna. Like, you have to, like, do something before you do the sauna. And also that, in my mind, and based on my minimal research, that increases the effectivity of the sauna is to have coming in from exercise, whether it's resistance training or cardio, or whatever. Because it helps, like, trick your brain or trick your body into thinking like you're still kind of exercising it, like it extends the exercise. I think keeping the temperature up and keeping the heart rate up and keeping the, I think if you were to wear a Fitbit and it survived the sauna, it would give you like, if you did 40 minutes on the elliptical and then got in a sauna, it would be like, wow, 65 minutes of cardio today or whatever. So I think, and so I always feel, and I should just bring that mentality to like, you have this one idea for a scene for this, thriller, this action thriller. I want, like, I should just try writing. It's like, well, I don't even know who the main characters are. It's like, just call them guy one, you know, like just get it out.
And then if after that scene, you're like, well, I have this idea for this other one, but it's not connected at all to the first one, be okay with like, just write it. And maybe it ends up in it, or maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how little writing I actually do, considering that is like one of the hyphenates allegedly in my career listing.
Well, I think for us,
certainly a goal, you know,
because like this is not the advice that I think a lot of screenwriters would give, is what I'm saying. But I think for like you and I and people who come from improv too, like it's how we're used to creating is more just like immediately going to dialogue, immediately going to like imagining the world rather than like plot.
Right,
like we
right,
never plot
right.
things out.
That makes total sense. Yeah.
And it's also, I'm just not good at it. It's like trying to do the thing I'm not good at.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, well, I'll have to do that eventually. It's like, but I'm sitting down at this plate and I love Korean short ribs. Yeah. There's some fucking carrots here. I'll get to those because I have to eat my whole plate. But what's going to get me to sit down is the idea of having a few of these short ribs.
Yeah. And it's trying to bring it back to working out. It might be like, if you love like powerlifting, if you love doing like 3 rep sets and you've been doing like 12 rep sets and not enjoyed it, it's like, well, maybe it's just, that's not for you.
Right. Yeah. And why are you trying to, oh, because I should get some more cardio. Well, go do your 3 rep sets and then fucking jump on an incline walk on the treadmill for a little bit. Or in this case, sit down, write your fun scene, and then brainstorm the outline. Or like, you know,
because I think there's also something of like, if there's someone out there who loves doing 12 rep sets and there's someone out there who loves plotting out meticulously their screenplays, and you'll never be as good as the person who loves doing that.
Right.
So, yeah. Weird movie, yeah.
Oh man, just do it your way. Whatever gets you to the end,
you excited and have you keep showing up.
Yeah, if you're the person who wants to be like, I just do 2 hours on the Peloton every day.
God love you.
God bless. That sounds like a fucking nightmare, but I totally get it. I didn't think about this part of the episode title. I thought we were just going to talk about how being a meathead in artist space or being an artist in meathead space. But now I'm thinking about like the overlap of what I can learn.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
Because I have a comfortability in like in my meatheaddom and in like understanding. I love building a program. I love I love sorting out, you know, what I've really in the last couple of months, and I'm going to push in 2024, is if I take care of myself and push recovery, if I'm burning the candle on one end, I can burn it brighter than I think.
Right.
I think I always cut myself short of like, well, you lifted yesterday, and partially as a laziness. I'm like, you lifted yesterday, so today you can fucking get baked and do nothing.
Right.
It's like,
right.
I probably could just go to the gym again and do another hour of lifting that isn't the same groups, and maybe it's not as intense, but it's still better for me than what, you know what I mean? And I think I do that same thing with creativity, where I'm like, I got some stuff done yesterday. I can kind of fuck off for like 4 days now. And it's like, well, what if you got a little, even if it was less stuff done, but you got more stuff done today? And I'm old enough and been doing this for long enough that I should have some court vision or field. I should be able to zoom out a little bit and be like, you know, if you do write a page a day, you can have 3 screenplays in a year. And it's like, that's going to take forever. It's like, well, you've been a writer for 12 years. How many screenplays do you have? You're like, okay, fair enough. Yeah. And it's like the same thing with fitness. You're like, you know, if you just like I said to Tiffany earlier today, she's like, babe, I'm so proud of you. You've been going to the gym every day. I'm like, yeah, it's like a matter of just like hopefully in April, I'm looking back and been like, yeah, I got 100 different fitness sessions in. And it's like, that's the only way. It's got like, you got to just death by 1,000 cuts, like, or life by 1,000 lifts, or the opposite, the positive spirit.
Yeah. I'm trying to think when I'm thinking about how lifting or exercising generally is easier to do. There's also something that I think, because when I'm exercising now, it's just sort of because I enjoy it. So it's like, oh, it's fun. So there's something about the process I like, where it's not all results oriented for me.
Right, right.
And I think there's something to that with like the creative stuff also, where it's like you have to like it while you're doing it to keep doing it. Like if you're only doing it for some reward at the end, you're going to
hate
it.
For the six pack or the Sundance Screenwriters Award or whatever. Like if you're like, that's not going to keep you in the gym. It's not going to keep you at the laptop. It's not going
to keep
you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd be curious to like talk to competitive like lifters or bodybuilders to be like, is your relationship with exercise different than mine because it is competitive? Or
I'm sure. I wonder that. Yeah, that's, I'm curious about that now as well. I'm even thinking about how I look at, because I kind of need to be goal oriented for fitness purposes, mm-hmm. and not even like goal oriented, like I drop my mile time to 9 mm-hmm. minutes or whatever, more like I'm doing martial arts now and I'd like to be stronger and in better cardio for that. Mm-hmm. And like that supports that, or like, oh, I'm going to do this race again. I better at least hover around the ability to get up to 6 mile runs. Mm-hmm. I can't go fully in one direction. And now there's like some aesthetics at play as mm-hmm. I get older. I'm like, I'd like to lose a few 8 pounds, but I never want to have like undeveloped traps or upper back, you know? And so like, there's all this shit at play, and I'm always just like, oh, there's, and I just think in 2024 and towards the end of 2023, I was just looking at it like, I think I can have it all, mm-hmm. or at least I can tell myself I can have it all at this stage. Why would I put up a roadblock of like, you actually, dude, you can't actually do that much.
Right.
It's like, I'm already like saying, and that's what I was saying to you earlier about like burning the candle on one end hotter. It's just like, I keep saying to myself, I'm like, no way you could do all this. I'm like, well, why don't I crash and burn first? Mm-hmm. Why don't I see if I can like, and it's the same thing with like, I was like, you can't actually write a whole screenplay by yourself. And it's like, fuck, dude, you haven't even really gotten, if you get to page 50, you can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, if you get your ass to the gym, you can work out, you know, it's like,
I will say it's, for me that there's it's not really a caveat, but something I've done throughout like my like adult training is get excited about some sort of program, go too hard and hurt myself in some annoying way that it's like, fuck, why didn't I just go 10% less so I would never have to take a break from it?
Right.
Like, I think the last time we did improv and I was talking about like the thing I was into was like this pull-up program.
Oh, right? Yes. The guy that like, because we both had seen the Instagram example of like,
which is where I get
280-pound bodybuilder. Yeah.
Which is basically doing like two really fast, like as powerful as you can pull-ups, and then resting 30 seconds and doing another set of two to sort of build up your volume. And I was doing that, and then I started on my own being like, I think I'll kind of apply that to dips and I'll do the same thing. And I was like supersetting them.
Oh, yeah. you've already like... You're like, all right, yeah.
I'm already not following the program.
Yeah. You're already adding, you're doubling the effort. They're like, he's trying to get you to shrink it down to just two pull-ups. Yeah.
And then I strained like the bicep tendon up by my shoulder. And I'm just like, fuck, now I just have to take a break from all of that for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's funny you said, because I'm in that mentality right now of my goal is consistency and volume,
mm-hmm.
and then intensity to follow. So for example, something I'm doing is I've locked in all the weights of my big lifts.
Mm-hmm.
They are, I'm squatting 225, I'm deading 275, I'm pressing 135, and I'm benching 185. Oh, I'm doing accessory work. I have all that. But I'm not going to move those weights until I'm doing 5x10, except for the deadlift. If I, when I get to 5x5, I don't think you should do over 5 reps in a deadlift if you're trying to go for it. Like, if you're gonna do over 5 reps in deadlift, drop down to like 95 pounds and let it be more about a hip hinge than an actual setup and dead. But for me, what that does is remove the ego and also make it about like, you got to get to the gym and get your lifts in. It's not about pushing it at that workout, because the pushing I'm doing is trying to get sick, trying to get 2 to 3 days of Jeet Kune Do, 2 days of swimming, and 2 to 3 days of weightlifting, lifting weights a week. And the only, I'm not going to be able to do that if I'm on, you know, the Texas method or doing Wendler or doing a Bulgarian squat regimen. So by shrinking all that down, and my focus, I don't need to right now be able to squat 315 for what I want to do. But so for now, I'm just keeping it at those things. And like the other day, I did like squatted 225 for like 3 sets of 5. And I'm like, I could probably do 5 sets of 5 or 3 sets of 8, but I do have to go like kick a pad tonight. So I'm not going to. And now I'm like leaving a little something in the tank. And my big limit is that I want to, my strength, my fun scene to write would be piling weight on the bar, you know, like, but for me, I need to be able to later that day do blank. So I'm like, okay. And now I've eliminated the ego. And now I'm like, someday I'll be doing squatting 225 for 5 sets of 10. And then I'll go, okay, time to go up to 275 for 3 sets of 5. And if you notice, all my weights are 45s and 25s.
Yeah.
I got that from Pavel, this trainer that I, a big kettlebell guy back in the day. And when someone asked him what he does for weights, he's like, I don't want to keep a book and I get too in my head about numbers. He's like, I only go up by 45s and 25s. And that means if I'm under loading myself, I'm over repping then. I'm like, fine, then I'll do 10 reps. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to steal that, because also I can use, you know, the higher rep shit for calorie burning and light cardio and stuff like, and, you know, muscular endurance and hypertrophy. Like, all that shit is stuff I need anyway. So I'm like, fuck it. And so that's been really, it's so weird not prioritizing my compound lifts for like the first time in like 10 years of training.
There's a guy I follow on Instagram, and one thing he said that I've been implementing is like, if he's training someone under 40, he has them do their compound lifts first. The way you used to hear it, it's like, you have the most energy, get those done. It's like, if it's someone over 40, it's more like important to make sure your body's really sort of loosened up before you hit those. So he has them do like a set with some higher reps in the same muscle group. So like, so if you're going to like squat, maybe you do some single leg squats.
Yeah, or like some dumbbell lunges or something.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And it's like, do a couple sets of 8 first. And you would normally do that as an accessory after. But then your body will feel better. Even if you don't put up the same, like, you might put less weight up, but you're less likely to get hurt or stiff.
Right, you're activating some muscles. Your blood's flowing. Yeah, the bodybuilders used to call that like pre-exhaustion principle. Like, do pec deck before you jump on the flat bench.
Oh, yeah.
Like tire out a certain part of the muscle, do leg extensions, then squat, you know, like get like one and, you know, and I dig that. I've been trying to, before all my lifting sessions, get 20 minutes at 4% incline, brisk walking, just to like activate the glutes and get a little sweat going. And, you know, I'm like at the end of the day, looking at my week and been like, so two or three 20-minute treadmill sessions, 2 30- to 45-minute swim sessions, 2 to 3 hour-ish martial arts classes, a couple of lifts, 4 or 5 40-minute sauna sessions. And I'm like, that's so much fucking time. But because I'm mixing it up a bunch, it doesn't feel, but I'm not going to make gangbusters, improvements in one of these categories because of all the fucking variation I'm doing. But this is what's working for me mentally right now.
And what's cool about the martial arts is it's also like a mental workout, because you're learning a new skill. So it's not just doing your like 5x5s or whatever, which you could sort of do in your sleep. it's like having to really concentrate and learn something new, which is like making your brain work.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and that's really, and then like, you know, I'm thinking about like, I don't want my arms to be fried because I have to do pad work mm-hmm. tonight. Mm-hmm. And pad work is what I want to get better at. Mm-hmm. I want to get stronger at the bench press and the row, but I am good at, I know how to do it. I need to learn how to do this right. other thing. And it's like, it's been really fun. And like, I did it for a few months at the end, but I'm going to try to stay in it for another couple of months. And if it ends up being too much, I'll just have to figure out like where my priorities lie and like, you know, back off. But that's mm-hmm. why I'm not even concerning myself with like with career. I'm just like, mm-hmm. I'm filling my time like I'm an elite athlete. Like I've decided.
Or like you're training for a role in like a Marvel movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm treating myself like I'm like, it's go to. Well, if that isn't the ultimate combination of meathead and artistry,
yeah, right?
It's like the guys who transform their, like, Christian Bale, you know, is a weird example, but like Kumail, Chris Evans, everyone who gets like yoked for these movies.
Did you read Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights, his memoir?
I listened to it too
as I walked my dog. Very fun Green listen. Light.
Very fun. I can't believe like bumper sticker wisdom was a recurring
bumper
pattern.
Sticker wisdom. But he talks about training for some movie. And he'll come up with his own plans and they'll be like insane, where they'll be like, I drink a bottle of wine. This will be part of my, it's like, I'll run 10 miles a day and I'll wrestle someone or something. It's like, that was my workout.
That was like what he did for like Magic Mike.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah, he's a cool. strange fucking egg, man. Yeah.
But a good example, like you could tell from that of like, oh, you are a jock. You're into physical stuff, but you are very artistic. You write poetry. Right. You really think about your roles. Right. Yeah.
I always dug that when you would hear like an actor talk about their character like through physical fitness, or like that always got to me. Like mm-hmm. the big example I always think of is when The Rock joined the Fast and the Furious franchise, when he joined La Familia. Mm-hmm. He showed up and like he was so fucking yoked that like Vin Diesel in an interview in like a magazine was like, well, you know, like Dominic Toretto is a guy who, yeah, he does some hammer curls and he lifts engine blocks, but he drinks Coronas too, you know? And it's like, I appreciate. And that's what, that kind of pisses me off now that the default is shredded.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, maybe Captain America and Thor should be yoked, but it's like Ant-Man is a scientist. He doesn't have right. to be yoked. Like, also, and this is going to get me on my fucking usual high horse, superheroes don't need muscles at all right. if it's like it's mutations and shit. Like Superman aesthetic. Doesn't have to have abs. Like he could just be insanely strong. It's not like he got abs from doing like the ultimate sit up. Like he sat up,
if
did
anything,
a sit up with the Acropolis on his head or whatever.
His body yeah. should look very weak because it's so hard for him to get resistance. It'd be like someone who's
exactly.
bedridden. That's what their body
yeah.
is.
Right. How would he have lean? Like, why would he be lean? Is he burning calories when he flies?
Right.
Then he needs to be fucking eating like white rice, chicken, and broccoli by like the fucking brick.
The other thing is, and I understand why it's not in the movies because it wouldn't be interesting, but when it's like a James Bond movie or any movie like with a very fit protagonist and they never yeah. ever show them exercise
and they play a human, yeah. Like,
and it's just like that would have to be such a big part of your life if you looked like that.
Right. Well, The Rock is the perfect example of that. Like Arnold, great. The most recent, as of this recording we're doing now, this will come out like a month later. But the most recent Action Boys movie we did is Raw Deal. And he's supposed to be like a random sheriff in a small.
Oh, yeah.
He ends up going up against the Chicago mob as like an undercover sheriff or whatever.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It's really fun, but it makes no sense for the actor to be cast in this role, because it's like you're going under, so he's this giant freak and they just have this one random pan through his house when they're establishing the character, and there's like a Gold's Gym tank top over a chair and it's like
that's
enough to
need.
Say
yeah.
like this guy works out, because like The Rock would, like another good example is in Fast Five, The Rock is at, or maybe it's Fast Six, the one where he fights Statham in his mm-hmm. office. He's drinking a protein shake and really sweaty from a workout. And I'm like, Thank fucking God. Like, yeah, there should be
that.
A shot. There should be a scene where he's opening up a Ziploc bag full of chicken breast and jamming it down. Because you cannot maintain that physique as, like, a cop or a Homeland Security, whatever he's supposed
to
be.
You almost can't have a job.
Right.
Yeah.
You need to be working out 6 hours a week, 6 hours a day. Yeah, there should be. Well, that gets me to, like, the other joke I always make, that, like, every Brad Pitt movie should just have a moment where someone's like, holy fucking shit.
Gorgeous.
You're chasing down the Jonathan Doe serial killer. You're absolutely insanely handsome. Like, this is crazy. I want to fuck you. I've never even thought about gay shit until
I'm
this
your partner.
Moment. Yeah, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah,
I'm
Morgan
your partner. I'd like to fuck
I've
you.
Never been attracted to a man before.
All our fan fiction is just everyone fucks Brad Pitt no matter what.
In every Brad Pitt movie. I mean, I do remember with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Tarantino was telling Brad Pitt, like, I can't cast you as a stuntman. You're beautiful.
Yeah.
That's not what stuntmen look like.
Yeah, you're like only maybe Leonardo DiCaprio, who's, you know, if you're going pure personal preference, not as attractive as Brad Pitt. But you need someone like that to be.
Yes.
Like Ocean's 11 is so funny. It's like Clooney and Brad Pitt are like talking to Bernie Mac. And how come Bernie Mac's not like, Jesus Christ, you fucking gorgeous ass white people coming to my job.
People would be both fawning and giving them shit over how attractive they are.
Yeah, it'd be like, you delicate, fucking gorgeous little freaks. Get the fuck out of here.
You got to write that movie one page at a time.
Yeah, please. One scene at a one slug line at a time.
So all the scenes you start with are just fucking Brad Pitt.
Hey, write what you love.
Write what you
love. I got a fucking trilogy of Brad Pitt getting his ass eaten by a dumpy Long Islander. what are you doing for yourself? What are you doing to get inspired fitness-wise these days?
It's always so something like you were talking about, like your brothers will always have a thing that's my thing is usually scrolling through Instagram, finding a fitness thing that looks fun. I'll save it. And then the next day before I go work out, I'll bring it back up to like, look at what that was. And then I'm going to try that today. So
Is that specific movements maybe even?
Sometimes
it's like
like you were sort of talking about this too, with like priming a certain muscle. Like I think because a lot of times, like with my leg lifts, I'll be quad dominant. It's trying to do stuff to get my like ass warmed up first to like activate my glutes.
The posterior chain. Yeah.
So like one video that I watched, and I was like, oh, I like that. And I generally do prefer single leg lifts to like a traditional squat or a deadlift. But it'll be like, it's like a hinge. It almost looks like you're doing like a one-legged deadlift, but it's you don't go for that far down. And then you do go right into like a drop-down lunge. You pair them one-to-one-to-one. And like that, I feel like I can feel it in my butt more than if I was just doing lunges.
Yeah, yeah. And before we jumped on, that's the kind of shit I need to be adding to my... when I go to the gym, when I'm lifting, I'm always in like a single plane, you know, it's like squat, press, pull, maybe, you know, shrugs or a different kind of push, maybe, you know, some dead, but like, I need to be doing like moving in all the different planes.
Do you is it cassock squats? So the like side to side lunge where you know,
I think that's called. Yeah, Cossack squats, like, because it's named for, like, that
like
Russian
dance.
Yeah.
But that's, like, for example, like, a lift where it's like, oh, I'm so weak at this.
Right. But that makes me think, like this conversation and the conversation we had briefly before we came on, that which stems from a buddy of mine that I played rugby with in New York. He lives in Marina Del Rey, and we're like, we got to try to see – or Playa Del Rey. We're like, we got to try to see each other more. And he's like, what if we signed up for like an exercise class that we did together and that was halfway between us? And I'm like, oh, that's really brilliant. And that's when we came up with the, like, we miss the agility drills and the getting pushed like from rugby practice. And I'm like, talking to you about that, I'm like, I think I can maybe add like before I'm lifting, just 10 minutes of weird movements is like all, like just take a 10-pound dumbbell and do like the weird lunges and the side lunges and just move through a bunch of different stuff, crawl around a little maybe. I kind of do that now with like, I'll get in the deep squat with like 2 5-pounders and kind of move my shoulders in weird ways and shit like that, trying to like act. I just realized how sore I was when I did that. trying to activate and like all different, you know, all different movements and shit like that. But I want to do more shit like you're talking about, like the hinge into the lunge into like, and it's like less about the weight you're doing and, you know, you're getting sweat and just moving through all these planes. And and martial arts has given me that a little bit because now I'm dancing around, I'm throwing kicks, I'm throwing punches, stuff that you're not really doing in the gym. But I think I could support it even better with some of this other like mixed modality shit of like bear crawl and fucking get up and like zigzags and stuff.
And I think there's also something to it that I like where it's like, if I do this only for this one workout, it doesn't feel like I like tried something and gave it up, or that it wasn't like, there's so many like workout things that's like, if you want to get good at running, you have to do it at least for, I don't know, a year.
Right. Yeah. At minimum 4 weeks you have to like hit some sort of,
And there's something nice that's like, oh, I really did this just for this one workout to sort of activate my glutes, and maybe I'll do it for the next workout. But if I don't, that's okay. If I'm sort of bored with it and I want to try this other thing, I can do that.
And but maybe next time you're staying in a hotel, you're like, oh, they have 5-pound dumbbells, I'll do that weird hip hinge thing in front. And more importantly, because we're talking from the reference point we're talking here, is like that just got you to the gym that day.
Yeah, just something
like,
to be excited
oh, I was
about.
Excited to go there and try this dumb thing. Yeah. Yeah. One,
like going back to your friend thing, like the most fit I ever was, the most like jack fit at least, was in college because I had just like a group of friends that were all into lifting. And so like reaching like PRs became like both like, it became more fun. So it's like, I'm going to bench 300. Like
I'm going to push
that guy can, I'm going to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't have that as much one. It's like, it's a more relaxing way of working out how I do now, but it's, I'm not making progress like that.
Are you listening to anything while you lift these days?
I tend not to listen to anything. So if the gym has music, I'll listen to that. But and that's the other thing why I don't like walking around with a notebook. I sort of like it being like, and I like to do supersets or things where I'm almost always working.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I think I try to get into supersets for my accessory stuff after my first big lift, just because I'm trying to keep the, you know, engine running and I'm not pushing it super hard on my incline dumbbells or whatever. So I'm like trying to make that more about getting more shit in, getting more movement in and getting more calories burned. Cool. I usually listen to podcasts or audiobooks. I used to love my old gym. It wasn't crazy to have your like bag out, you know? And now that's kind of like the gym I'm at now is not really like you can have your bag
rounds
sitting
on
out.
That, right.
Yeah, so like I miss that because I used to be able to keep my phone in my bag and then with my Bluetooth headphones, like never get involved with my phone. But now every once in a while, I'm like sitting on the lat pull down machine, minute 4 in between sets, just like scrolling muscle mommies on Instagram. I'm like, get back to reality, dog. You got shit to do.
I had never made the connection, but I think that's part of why I like it is it's just like an hour I'm not on my phone. Is great.
Yeah. I gotta try to seek that out too. That makes sense. Dude, that's this it was an inspiring conversation.
It went different directions than I thought it would. I thought it was just about like us being huge around little people at Skidmore.
And us being like, oh, so and so climbed on my back. Oh, I lifted Fran Gillespie up over my head in this show. Oh,
which I think I've talked about in your podcast, but just in case you haven't heard it, one of my favorite feats of strength you've ever done.
Yes. Yeah, well, that was two of us, but yes, I was the fucking...
You were
I know
the
what
engine.
With. Yeah.
Well, we were doing a show in Manhattan, like a paid show.
And it was at like a like Roseland Ballroom. It was like, not that.
It was at a music venue,
like,
yeah.
It was at a music venue on like a big stage, and we had been drinking backstage.
They gave us
before.
A case of beer. So we were all drinking. We're like, oh, it's free. And so we probably had 4 or 5 beers before we went on stage. And at some point, there was a scene where you were sitting down in a chair and Fran Gillespie, or no, first, it must have been me first, right? Climbed up on your shoulders. And then Fran climbed on me onto my shoulders. And then you stood up from the chair.
Yeah, we were a 3-person chicken fight.
Probably how Fran must have been.
Fran must have been 10
15
feet.
Yeah, something very, like you're like, 6'3". She was on my shoulders. Yeah.
Right. Well, it was either you got on my shoulders and Fran got on your shoulders, or Fran was on your shoulders and I like, but there's no way I would have gotten underneath
I don't think,
you. Yeah. No, because I think I went from, it was like crazy that I got up from the chair.
That was the crazy part.
Yeah.
And then stood.
Yeah. And holding your thighs.
Yes.
And you've got Fran a full torso, Brandon Gardner torso length above us, weaving fucking half in the van. That's probably when I was in my late 20s, when I was a powerlifter. That was probably the strongest I've ever been in my entire life. I was like, I did squat 405 for 5, bench 300 for 5, deadlift 445 for 5. Like, I was just fucking indestructible, drinking fucking gallons of grass-fed whole milk a week and shit.
Thank God, because if you weren't, Fran would be dead.
Yeah. God help us all. Yeah, I mean, that is... We used to do like dumb feats of strength all the time, and Frank would play into them too, because she was just a little lass, and she knew like I can leap. Her and I got really good at after being on the law firm together for a long time. We got really good at that wrestler choke where she holds my wrist
and
I had to pick her up by her neck, and it seems like I'm like choking her up against the wall or whatever. But we used to get into some weird physical shit when we were like, well, it's me and Brandon are on stage, we could probably like pick this guy up. I'd like to get back there a little bit where I was confident I'm confident in my strength, but I'm not confident in like if I go to do something I may hurt myself. I'd like to bulletproof myself a little bit more so that I can get to 100 days of exercise in a row, and I can get to, you know, death of 1,000 cuts or whatever.
Yeah, if there's like a rugby reunion, you're like, I'll do that.
Yeah, I'm dying to fucking play in a match. I'm dying to like, I have just so much shit I want to do in my life. There's just no way. Like, I need to like quit all my jobs, hire someone who's like just my personal trainer / guru, and just like run me. I need to get like a fucking cryo tank and a fucking sauna and like a massage table. And I just need to be, I wish I could treat myself like a fucking veal. Like, just take care of myself.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's funny is like at a certain age, like we met fucking getting blasted all the time. I think now I would be equally excited to go on a super expensive vacation where they just like did like cupping, Rolf, acupuncture, massage, meditation, exercise. Like, here's one of those. The fucking Laird Hamilton XPT shit he does. Do you follow?
Yep.
That is a financial goal and fitness goal. I'd have to get in shape enough to be able to do it. But that is like, someday I'm going to have an extra few grand lying around, and I'm going to fucking go out to Malibu for the weekend and train in fucking Laird Hamilton's pool with a dumbbell and shit like that. Like, that's the kind of shit that wish I want to do that as much as I want to go to fucking, you know, Oktoberfest in Munich or something like that. Like, they're both equally appealing to me now in my old age.
Dan Hodap, UCB friend, he posted something on Instagram somewhere. He went to like a fitness, it was like a camp retreat thing. It's like, and it looks awesome. I looked it up and I was like, it was a little expensive for right now in my life, but like, it looked, and also like, it'd be hard to tell my wife. It's like, I need to be gone for 4 days, take care of the kids. I'm gonna be
you're gonna watch the kids. I'm gonna go lift in the woods with chicks in yoga pants for four
days. Right, exactly. Eat organic high protein meals with them. But it looked awesome.
Hodap, I've known that guy for a long time. He used to come into my old CrossFit. Homie is shredded.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a trainer. He's a great, and he's a fucking good guy. He's fucking diced up, though, dude.
Looking every time good. I see it, and it's like, I'm genuinely inspired. Every time he like posts like a shirtless picture of himself on the beach, like, it's like, yeah, nice.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
We're just the only two straight guys in the comments going, hell yeah, hell bro. Yeah. Looking fucking nice.
Here for it.
But we didn't talk just to re-inspire ourselves into fitness. We actually had a specific reason that you came back on. Why don't we talk a little bit about the new show?
Sure, besides just catching up.
Yeah, because it's out as of this record. It's out already. Or at least, is it dropping weekly? So
binge 6 episisodes all at the same time, dropping January 25th. So they'll be out.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah.
On Peacock. It's a show called In the Know. It's a stop-motion animated show created by me and Zach Woods and Mike Judge. If you don't see my name on the posters, it's because they're more famous.
Yep, yep.
I wasn't really pulling people in. But it's set in a NPR
station. The new series from Brandon Gardner. It's like just leaving
UCB's
out Zach.
Bastion.
Just leaving off Zach and Mike Judge is just a funny way to shoot yourself in the foot. Like, demand that you get your own. Like,
but some of my extended family will watch. But yeah, so stop motion comedy done by Shadow Machine, which the people in, up in Portland who did Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. So it's got a very cool look.
The shit looks cool. There's so much going on. Like, it's so exciting. Like, it's NPR kind of interviews of real people with puppets.
Yeah, so like Zach plays a character who has a show on NPR that's sort of like Terry Gross's Fresh Air, if you're an NPR head, where he interviews real celebrities and their video on. So he interviews like Mike Tyson, but in character.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a character that is a side of Zach that's already there, but emphasized as a sort of like soft, both me and Zach, soft liberal, you know, coastal progressive.
Yeah, NPR. Yeah.
NPR. And so part of the show are those interviews, and part of the show is Zach and the coworkers in that studio.
Oh, that's so fucking, it's so fun. The trailer makes, I've not watched an episode yet, even though you guys leaked them to me, gave them to me to watch from the PR team. I want to pretend like I got a fucking illegal, Snowden sent me a
so
link.
Much shit.
But the trailer looks fucking awesome, and it's such a fucking wild concept. It's like one of those shows that if it doesn't do fucking bananas numbers, it'll be like eight weirdos' favorite show ever.
That's what I'm like, confident about. Yeah. I could also see it being like a million people like hate it.
Yeah, and 1.5 million people love it.
And it's definitely like the kind of show where if I had found this really at any point in my life, but like if when we met in college, if I had seen the show, I'd be like, what is this?
Hell,
I would have been really into how weird it is.
Right. That's, oh man, that really excites me. I'm just stoked. I'm a huge fan of both. I mean, separately, I like Mike Judge as well, but I'm a huge fan of you and Zach Woods. So watching you two lanky fucking softies working together really, really excites me. Zach Woods, I know you're not listening to this because all your audio comes through a phonograph or whatever fucking weird ass weird life you live. But I miss you, dog. I miss you. I haven't seen you in maybe a decade, but
crazy.
By now, you're just like, he's someone like of a stature that you would just spot out of pavilions at some point or something. You know, like he's he cuts such a specific silhouette. I thought I would have at least seen him on a hike or drove past him on the street at some point. But no hide nor hair, as the kids say.
He lays low. Although I've been with him many times where random people come up and want to talk about The Office or Silicon Valley.
I wonder why socially awkward Zach Woods is not seen in public too frequently.
Once there was like a person on the street, like an unhoused, mentally ill person who's like, who had a phone that they were watching The Office, and they're like, why are you on this and I'm not? And it was
like, whoa. Yeah, that's why. And they were asking why you weren't? Like, why is Brandon Gardner not on this?
And I was like, yeah, he's got to make a good point.
Yeah. They should reboot it. I could come back. I could play Mindy's husband, boyfriend, anybody, really. I got plenty of ideas.
I could be a writer's assistant. Just put me on.
Yeah, please. I'll take a fucking art direction job. Brando, always a fucking pleasure catching
Very
up,
fun.
Man. In the Know on Peacock now. Get it. Get in there. Start fucking cooking it. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but
cook
it. Watch it. I'm going to send you a screenshot of my habituation protocol. Not for public consumption, obviously, but I will. I'll send it to you. So feel free to text me if you have any questions about any of the stuff on there.
I'm excited. I will.
I probably also should have just said this right after we were done recording.
No, I like it. Tell them a few more things you're just going to send me.
Yeah. I'm going to send you some before photos.
I want them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't even get into all the dick work you're doing.
I'm doing a lot of dick work these days. I'll send you the Instagram guy who's inspiring
me.
It's Dan Hodapp.
We're the only ones in the comments.
In the Know on Peacock now. As for me, you know, you can watch or listen to Action Boys at actionboys.biz. We got some free episodes out there. As a matter of fact, if you're listening to this because you're a Brandon Gardner fan and not a High and Mighty fan, just a couple episodes ago, I released a free Action Boys episode here in this feed. Check it out. Our longest episode ever. Had to be trimmed to be put up on Patreon. Patreon could not... Patreon said it was too large of a file. We had to cut like a couple of minutes just randomly out of it.
Wow.
I know that's not a good selling point for some people. But if you're going to pay $5 a month, you might as well get more time, right? Quantity Smart. Over quality. Bye, shitheads. I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators. We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!